My name is Dante Williams. I am 36 years old. Today's date is July 1st. I am in Portland, Oregon at the Waterfront Blues Fest. My relationship to the interviewee is friend and advocate.
My name is Skip Benz. I'm 68 years old. Today's date is 7/1/2017. I'm at the Waterfront Blues Festival, and I'm an advocate.
Well, Skip, thank you for coming in, and we really appreciate you stopping by and agreeing to tell your story. I think your story is very unique. But let's start at the beginning. Tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was a child of the 60s. I grew up in San Francisco during the 50s and 60s, right in the middle of everything that was going on at the time. We had mantras back in the day when I was a kid that love the one you're with, if it feels good, do it. Drug, sex, and rock and roll were the mantras of the day. So that kind of gives you a snapshot of what I was doing and what was happening at the time. It was an incredible time to live. I went into service pretty quickly because right after I graduated from high school, because I had friends already coming home in body bags and the writing was on the wall. If I wasn't going to college and I was not college bound, that I was going in the Army. So I joined the Air Force for 4 years and got through life. So that gives you a snapshot.
Okay. And so when I first met you yesterday, you told me something about yourself that made you an ideal person to want to sit down and talk to. So tell me a little bit about that.
Okay. Well, you know, I've kind of given you a snapshot of how I lived, where I lived, and what I was doing at the time. And through drug abuse, I never expected this, but after I got clean and sober January 2nd, 1981, I thought I'd put everything behind me. And so I just carried on through life having a good time. You know, I rolled into corporate America, got a sales job, was good, had gift to gab, and so we had it going on. And I'm just traveling through life, thinking life is good. I bought the house, you know, I got the family, I got the two-car garage, and I got a new doctor, and my new doctor started asking me questions about my past. Oh, you grew up in San Francisco, what were you doing back in the day? And I was telling her all about, you know, it was on. She said, okay, that's good. And she did some tests after that. I thought it was just a checkup, you know, an annual. And so she called me a week later and says, I had hepatitis C. And I said, what are you talking about? And I said, what is hepatitis C? She says, it's a blood disorder that has affected your kidneys. And I go, well, how did that happen? She says, well, I had a kind of a hint. You told me that you abused drugs back in the day, and it's probably as a result of your drug abuse that you got hepatitis C. I was blown away by that. I at the time I was 20 years clean and sober. I had a corporate job. I was living large. I didn't see hepatitis C coming up on my radar, and it freaked me out. And I go, and the reason it freaked me out is because I was embarrassed by how I got it. I know how I got it. She told me that there's other ways. You can get a blood transfusion, tattoo. I didn't have no tattoos. I didn't have no blood transfusions. I'm stuck with hepatitis C because I was a drug abuser. And then I have to start talking about that. And, you know, I wanted to tell everybody I had a bad blood transfusion because I was embarrassed by that. But you know, I as I start to sit with it and I sought treatment, I did seek treatment, and I was blessed to go through a program with Dr. Gish in San Francisco, a leading hepatologist, and a study, and I did a 1-year study with them and cleared the virus. Amazing, absolutely amazing gift. It was a long year. We had to give ourselves a shot once a week, take an oral. You got very sick. I was on 6 other meds to offset the side effects of the ones we're fighting hepatitis C. You know, anti-nausea, anti-itch, antidepressant because it's depressed you. It was amazing. It was an incredible year. But cleared the virus. And in the interim, something very special happened. I started a support group. because I'm a recovery guy. I was, at the time, was clean and sober for 20 years. I knew that I was clean and sober because that support network that I had around me, that I had incorporated into my life. So I started a support group for Hep C, and we started to grow. We started with 5 people, and we started to grow to 10 and 15 and 20 and 30. And it was an incredible time. We were all stuck in this bubble of hepatitis C, looking for a way out. And some of us had success in our treatment. Some didn't. Some were trying other things. But what we did was we cared and nurtured one another. We held each other's hand and got through this. And it was a wonderful. And clearing the virus. I think those two things were just an incredible place in my life. So I'm. It's this 2017, and I have an annual physical and blood test every year, and I still, all my blood work comes up a negative on hepatitis C. It's an amazing journey. You know, I'm back, I'm 68 years old now, and I got wonderful grandchildren. I got a wonderful wife of 39 years. I'm at a blues concert, man, eating ice cream on a, I'm just living large, you know. So it is an incredible life, you know. But you don't get freaked out if you have hepatitis C. But what the good news is, that the drugs today that they have to fight this are a lot easier, a lot less abrasive. I had a friend that just went through the same treatment I did 3 times.
Wow.
And never cleared the virus. He was so bummed out, and his liver was getting worse. And then they tried something else. There's a new regime of drugs out, cleared the virus. Boom.
Wow.
Boom. So don't give up. There are treatments today that are less abrasive, that there is hope. And if you do have it and you're in an area, gather some folks together. There's a whole bunch of us that have had hepatitis C, that are walking through it, that really need to gather with other people. Organizations like this, we will spearhead that kind of support and nurturing. You know, it's an amazing thing. So.
Yeah, so, you know, Skip, you know, thanks a lot for sharing that. You know, your journey in your life just seems so amazing, and you're such a positive person. And I think that when people hear this message, they'll feel your energy. And I just want to kind of take the conversation in a different direction, revolving around healthcare in general right now. So as of right now, across the U.S., most people on Medicaid, they're being refused treatment unless they have a fibrosis score of 3 and up. Now, some states will allow 2, and I believe maybe 1. There are no states. I don't think there's any states that will allow for F0 score. So what do you think? How do you feel about people being denied the treatment, going through, knowing where you came from and what you've been through?
Well, I really believe that if you trust your caregiver, your doctor, your support network, and they feel that it doesn't need treatment, if it's not a dollar issue, you know, a lot of people put a dollar issue on this. The drug companies put a dollar issue on it. It's doctors put a drug. If you trust them, I stopped drugs in 1981. And 20 years later, it popped up on my radar. See, so it developed over time. So if I'd found out in 1981, I wouldn't even have worried about it, my own self, because it would have been something you don't need to worry about at this time, you know. So I think if you entrust the people, the caregiver, you know, and then again, you know, go on and get a second opinion. You know, there are other options. You know, you really need to feel comfortable in what all this is about. And there again, I mean, I really advocate support groups. You know, without the we, there is no me, right? You know, I can't get through life alone, and it's no fun doing it alone. You know, you develop some incredible relationships, some friendships through all this stuff, through all this bad stuff I had to walk through. I developed some incredible friendships. You know that? Maybe that's what this was all about. Maybe that's why I got hepatitis C, just to nurture and support people around me. You know, I look at life like that today, man. God puts me in people's lives to nurture. You know, I'm a caregiver now. I work with adults with IDD, intellectual development disabilities, a very special group of God's kids. And they're amazing. They're absolutely amazing. And that's, you know, that's another thing that Hepsite did for me, because I was coasting in a sales groove. Man, I was doing my own thing, making money and having a good time. And I had lost a value. It was all about me. And hepatitis C grounded me in a way that it got me to bring people together, start a support group, and get my eyes off myself. See, really, really, life isn't. I'm not much, but I'm all I think about. And I need people in my life so I can support them and nurture them, and they can support and nurture me. You know.
Yeah, that's a great point. So, Skip, when I was talking about the Medicaid restrictions, so it isn't necessarily the doctors that are denying the treatment to their patients. It's the state Medicaid, the insurance. Yeah. So what do you think about that?
Man, I don't like that. You know, because that's then that's a dollar issue. You know, it's dollars and cents. You know, and that's wrong. You know, I think it is a lot easier to treat somebody when they're why would we let this develop? Why not treat it at its inception and move on? You know, isn't it? You know, if this is about money, that's a shame, and we know that. I don't like it. You know, I pray a lot about that. You know, I know that drug companies spend a lot of money in research and development. I get that, you know, but, you know, you're talking about a disease that affects people who might be unemployed. They might have nothing, you know. It's not right. You got to take care of folks, you know, and I hope drug companies come around to that, you know. This blows me away. I think there's a need to support our folks, you know, and you know that demographic that we're looking at. We were all out there shucking and jiving, you know, and fortunately, when I got hepatitis C, I was working for a corporation. I had great medical benefits, you know, and all that stuff was covered, you know, for me. And then this program I went into also covered it. So it breaks my heart that there are people that won't get treated, because I really believe, man, that, you know, anything that in its inception should be, you know, why are we letting people die, you know, get worse, you know, because it really does, you know. I at the time, I was starting to slow down. I was getting tired. I was taking naps in the afternoon. In that 2001, I just thought I was getting older. you know, I thought I was, you know, I thought, you know, I was just slowing down. And what was going on was my liver was dragging me down. It was, man, I'm having a hard time processing your stuff. You know that? I you need to go do something. But I didn't know that. I just go take a nap, right? And thank God for this woman, this new doctor I had in my life that started asking me some questions about where I came from and who I was, and she picked up right, knew exactly where to take me. You know, amazing.
It's like you said earlier, you know, people are placed in our lives for a very specific reason. And she was there to guide you and you know, diagnose you and, you know, put you on that right path again. Because if you hadn't got that diagnosis and with your treatment, there's no telling where you would be today. And, you know, so, Skip, we're about to wrap up. I'm sorry, you have...
Well, you know, I just want to tell you, the lady that did this testing, I'm a Vietnam veteran, and this lady was from Vietnam. Yeah, you know, all how God puts people in our lives, molds us together. This woman saved my life. You know that?
That is an amazing fact right there. That's that's beyond coincidental. So, Skip, in closing, what words would you have for anyone who may be struggling with getting treatment or just struggling with deciding whether or not they want to get tested?
Well, you know, listen, you know, you can stick your head in the sand and ignore it, but, you know, if you got something going on, you need to take care of it. If you want some longevity in your life, that happened in 2001. This is 2017. I'm living large. I'm 68 years old. I'm loving life. I'm enjoying a blues concert. And then find a support network. You'll be amazed how that can change your life. Different people had different answers to the diet, to the way ways to exercise, Pilates, yoga. I learned all kinds of things about what people do to reinforce their life and get better in this disease. So, you know, find a treatment, find a support group, and get through this, and then enjoy your life forever.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Skip. We definitely appreciate you sharing your story.